Let's pray. Father God, we do desire to honor and to worship You and You alone. For You are our mighty God. It is to You, O Lord, that we pray, and it is You, O Lord, that we worship. There is none like You, O God. Father, as we open Your Word this morning, I pray that by Your Spirit You would speak to us. I pray, O Lord God, that You would strengthen our belief and trust and faith in You, O Lord. I pray that You would give us discerning hearts, Father, that we would know Your ways and that You would empower us to walk in Your ways, O God. I pray that we may strengthen and encourage one another this morning, Lord. That as we are Your body, we would love one another, love our neighbor as ourselves, O God, and love You with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. So would You come now, Lord, and speak to us through Your Word. We ask this in the wonderful name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. Amen. So it is a difficult time for many of us in the country right now, and there's a lot of uncertainty with the coronavirus and things. Some folks are underplaying it, thinking that everything's going to be fine. Some folks are overplaying maybe and are really panicked, and some are kind of in the middle. Not saying if we are over or under playing it. There's an unknown. There's just so much unknown right now, and there is concern. Saw a number of headlines this week that were reading things like, "Is God angry with us?" And is this sort of the end time? Is this a biblical plague, in a sense, in which God is bringing forth His judgment upon us? In this time, it can feel like, where is God? It can feel like, God, You are all-powerful, You say, but where are You? I don't feel that. I feel scared. I feel concerned. I feel worried. Where are You, O God, in the midst of this? We have many people telling us many different things that we should be doing and should not be doing, and some of them are contradictory. It can be difficult to discern what is true in this time. So what do we do? What do we do? I know we the answer is we trust in God and we lean in God, of course, yes. But in this age in which you have so many, even within Christian circles, saying so many different things, where do we turn? And how do we know the way of God? In our passage this morning, John is going to talk about that, and particularly when it comes into false teaching, or those who are lying about the Word of God. He's going to say, we are to test the spirits. That we are to be able to tell what is the Spirit of God, what comes from the Spirit of God, and what comes from the spirit of the enemy. So turn me, please, if you would, to the book of 1 John. 1 John will begin chapter 4 this morning, in verses 1 through 6. 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. Because in this time, we want to know what the Spirit says. We want to know the Spirit of God. We want to know God's Spirit. And the church that John is writing to had struggles with that, because there were some who used to be in their midst who had left by now, who were teaching really a different gospel. They were doing one of two errors we have with the gospel. There's two ways that we can distort the gospel. One is we take something away from the gospel. We take away who Jesus is, or we distort who Jesus is and what he has done by dying on the cross for us. Or we add something to the gospel. And we say, in order to be saved, you must believe in Jesus Christ and do something else. In a sense, the people who were in error in the church that John's writing to were doing a little bit of both, not unusual, with many false teachings. They were saying, what they were adding to it is to say, in order to be truly saved, you must transcend what the Word of God says, and you have to have a secret inner knowledge that only the Spirit of God will give to you if you come to Him in the right way. There was a secret knowledge. But also then, they were denying that Jesus Christ was God, saying He was just a man, and He temporarily had God's Spirit upon Him, but that He was not God Himself from the Incarnation, from His birth. So they were adding to and taking away. And that's a big deal. That's really a big deal to God when we corrupt the gospel. And so we are going to get some instructions on that from John. Just for context, the very previous verse from last week, the last verse in chapter 3, verse 24 there, he's talking about how we know that we are with God, how we know we are of God, as opposed to of the devil. And he says, whoever keeps God's commandment abides in Him. And he says, by this we know that we abide in Him. Here's how we know. By the Spirit whom He has given us. So he also said that we know by when we obey, and we know because of God's Word, and we know because, the last point he had was because God's Spirit is in us. Now the question comes up, well, what does that look like? God's Spirit is in us. Well, all right, well, how do I know that? And so he's going to go into our passage this morning. 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world. Therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. This is God's word. Knowing the Spirit of God. It's our greatest joy to know God and make Him known to those around us. It's the very core of what we endeavor to be here. A community that worships God by knowing Him, and a community that witnesses for God, making Him known in the world. To know God and to make Him known. Well, how do we know what is from Him? How do we discern what is of God and what is not? There are many, many radio programs and TV programs that use the name of Jesus or the name of God. There are many different people that we'll encounter just this week who believe and say many different things about God. How do we discern what is of God and what is false? What is false prophet? And there are two ways that John talks about here in this passage so that we may know the Spirit of God. The first is, we'll know the Spirit of God or the Spirit of the Antichrist, of the enemy. And by that he's meaning those who speak for him. Okay? We'll know them by what they say. Verses 1 through 3. We'll know them by what they say. We're first told that we must test the spirits. This is a command for us. We can't just sit back and receive every teaching and just go, okay. To be a Christian is to be thoughtful. We must engage our minds. God created our minds. Now, our minds don't rule over our emotions and things. They all work together as God has created us. And our soul and our hearts and our heads are all created by God. But we are to use our heads. We are to test the spirits, we are told. This is why, you know, I say it a lot, and it's not just false humility or self-deprecating, but whatever I say up here, don't believe me if I can't show it from the Word of God. If I'm saying something that's not in the Word of God, push back on me. Push on that. Okay? I'm not up here because I'm an, as you know, an eloquent speaker, right? That I have these wonderful flourishes and all of that. I stumble over my words and stutter and use half sentences and all kinds of other bad things. It doesn't matter what I think. It doesn't matter what I just say. If I just think about things by myself, I'm going to get it wrong. I'm going to mess up who God is if I just want to think off the top of my head, right? Or if I just want to start speaking extemporaneously. I'm not going to speak truth. The Word of God is truth, right? And so we must test what people say, even if they're standing up holding a Bible, or you see them on TV, or you hear them on the radio. Make sure it lines up with the Word of God. You know, one of the challenges, again, I don't get to go to a lot of churches besides ours, so I don't hear a lot of other preachers. There are some that I do listen to, but I don't get to hear a lot. But a lot of you folks report back to me about some really concerning teachings that go on in churches. Churches that are removing the Word of God from their sermons, which is just bizarre. I don't understand why. What is it then? It's not a sermon anymore. But that we are commanded here to not believe every spirit. And this is written as a command. But to test the spirits so that we may see if they are from God. Because there are many false prophets out there. And so again, the first way that we know the Spirit of God is by what the prophets, what the people claiming to be follow God, by what they say. Verse 2, by this you know the Spirit of God. So here it is. He's about to say it. Here's how you know that something is the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, is from God. And the opposite, every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. So that seems pretty straightforward, and in many ways it really is. You see here a little bit of the specific false teaching that that is the occasion for him to write this letter. That the false teachers, who we've been talking about, giving them the name Gnostics, very broadly defined, that they are teaching that when Jesus Christ is not the Son of God, that God's Spirit, when the Son came, he wasn't in flesh form, because they believe flesh is evil, is bad, that only the Spirit is what is good. And so they were teaching that Jesus Christ was a separate man, was a separate man from the Son of God, and that he inhabited the body of Jesus for a while between his baptism and then just before his crucifixion, they say. But that all up until that time, the Spirit of God did not reside upon him. And right before the crucifixion, the Spirit of God was not with him. He wasn't God. He wasn't divine. And so therefore, true God that they believe in, the true Jesus they believe in, this is false teaching, the true that they believe in, Jesus, is only Spirit. John says, that is false teaching. Why does it matter? You go, well, what's the big deal if we believe about Jesus, if he was really incarnate or not? Or what does it matter if Jesus is only Spirit? God is Spirit, so we know that. What does it matter if the one who died on the cross truly was God. Oh, wait a minute. That does matter, doesn't it? That does matter. If the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross wasn't God, then His sacrifice is not effective for us. Just a human being sacrificing their life for all of humanity is not effective, just as the sacrificing of the animals again and again and again was a sign, was a symbol, was pointing forward to the Son of God's ultimate sacrifice on our behalf, but it wasn't effective in and of itself in cleansing sin. If Jesus wasn't God, He could not die for our sins. He had to be fully God and fully human together in order for Him to die for our sins to be forgiven. If it was just a human, it wouldn't be effective sacrifice. And if it was just a non-embodied spirit, there was no death. Two must be one. Jesus must and is fully God, fully human. And He says that that's how we test the spirits, that there is true teaching about Jesus. By what we say, that we truly proclaim Jesus. Whereas the evil spirit, the false teaching, does not confess Jesus. Now that may not be our specific error right now. That may not be the challenge that we necessarily face right now. People saying that Jesus wasn't both God and human. Though I think right now one of the big errors that we have is people saying Jesus was just human. That Jesus was just a good teacher. That Jesus was just a wise leader. And so we look to Him for example only. Well, what's wrong there? That's perverting the gospel. That's denying the truth. That's taking away from the gospel. To claim that Jesus is only a teacher, again, then His death for us, His death is just a tragic death of one of thousands of leaders who have died unjustly. But His death is not effective for our salvation. He's not dying for us. There is no redemption. There's no salvation. We cannot just look at Jesus as a good teacher. We must hold the entire gospel and only the gospel together. We also today may have some folks who said, you must believe the gospel and you must do something, and you must give money, you must go to church so many times a day, and you must do. That's not salvation. We do those things, and we say this all the time, right? We don't do good works to get saved. We do the good works God has placed in front of us because we're saved. We do them out of love for Jesus and love for people. And we love one another because He first loved us. We don't do it to try to get something from God. This is a wonderful time for us as the church to show the love of God to our community, to people around us, to our neighbors and everyone. Joan was talking this morning too about some cases she's heard and seen and read about. I had a wonderful one. I need to confirm it with... I don't know who the person was. I think I know, but I don't know for sure. But I got a report from one of our former teachers downstairs in the preschool from many years ago, Stacy McGovern. She was frantic. She texted me last night. She was frantically going to all these stores looking for toilet paper. And went to like 7 or 8 stores and couldn't find any toilet paper. And she said that someone that she recognized from our congregation was coming out of one drugstore, pharmacy, and had a roll of the toilet paper. And she said, oh my goodness, they have some. And whoever it was said, these are the last 3 that they had right here, last 3 rolls. And Stacy was like, oh my goodness. But whoever it was gave her. So let me pay you. No. Just here, take it. So there's an... And Stacy's report was, I saw Jesus in that person. Okay? By giving away toilet paper. Praise the Lord! What an opportunity to love someone in a very practical way, but we do it because of Jesus. We do it because Jesus loves us, and we then can show forth the love of Jesus. And so we can call our neighbors. We can check on our neighbors. We can see how they're doing, see if they need anything. As Mike was praying this morning too, that we can just talk to them because everyone's in isolation now. And that's so lonely and so scary. It can really start to just mess us up if we're just isolated too long. I know some of you introverts are like, yay, social isolation, praise the Lord. I get it, right? But even for introverts, eventually, to have some contact with other people, even if it is just by phone, that we can love one another and share the love of Jesus with one another. We know the Spirit of God by what the people say, by what they teach. I encourage you, when you're listening to teaching online or reading articles online, that you make sure that it lines up with the Word of God. You don't have to just come to someone who you think is an expert on the Word of God too. The Spirit of God resides in you if you are a believer in Jesus Christ. You all are very smart people. You all are very, very capable reading the Scriptures and weighing whether something is being said about that really does line up with the Scriptures or not. And we should talk about it together too, absolutely. Make sure that the teaching is from the Word of God and is speaking truthfully about the Word of God. There are many people who hold the Bible and speak falsely of Jesus. Secondly, how do we know the Spirit of God? First was by what they say, and second is by what they do. Verses 4 through 6. This is lined up all throughout John's letter here, that these go together. What we believe and how we act. What we say and what we do, that they go together. That there is integrity in a Christian. Now, John, stop, hold on. John also says that we all sin. He says if you claim to be without sin, you're lying. So it's not saying that we walk with perfect integrity in our life, meaning that we never sin. No. But our actions are impacted because of our belief. Because of what we know about God, it impacts and affects what we do. And when we do things in the name of Jesus and for His sake and for His glory, which means we love one another for what they do. In verse 5 it says, they, meaning the false teachers, are from the world. Therefore they speak from the world and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So it's the walking also. It's the teaching others, but then the way in which we go about our lives. Again, I know that we all are going to sin. We all are going to struggle and sin. What do we do with that? Do we just say, oh, no big deal? Doesn't matter? No. We take it to the Lord. We seek forgiveness from God. We receive His forgiveness. And we move forth and asking Him, praying that He would help us to love Him purely and not to sin, knowing that we will this side of heaven. We strive for holiness. Because we love God and we walk in integrity to what we say. There have been so many pastors and Christian leaders who have spoken from the Bible for a long time and then comes out later that their lies do not line up with the Scriptures. What a tragedy. And temptations are bound for all of us. But the Spirit of God is at work within believers, and we are then called to walk in His ways. When we see one who is teaching one thing and walking a different way, and their life does not have the fruit of the Spirit pouring forth, we are to question them. We are to pull back. Why it's so important for us to hold each other accountable. Not to be joyfully looking for sin in each other's lives. Oh, it's there. You don't have to look very hard. But helping one another to walk in purity and in fellowship with Jesus. How do we know the Spirit of God? We know the Spirit of God by what people say and by what people do. Now, I don't know about you, but there are times and I feel the temptation coming on here with coronavirus. There is a temptation to begin to question God's power. Now, maybe this isn't your wrestle, maybe this isn't your challenge. But I think there is that kind of, well, where is God kind of question here. I know I have that a little bit. I feel that creeping into me. When dear Sammy had his accident this week, it was, God, why? Why? Why didn't you prevent that, God? Right? We can see God's hand in 1,000 other ways and the ways in which He helped along the way. And that's so true and so important. There can be a sense, if you're aware of the spiritual battle that's going on, there can be a sense of, well, you know what? It looks like evil's winning. God, where is your power? Well, this passage speaks directly to that. In this passage, he speaks and says, God overcomes. God wins. Guaranteed. He wins. In verse 4, he says, little children, you are from God and have overcome them, the false teachers, for they have recognized them as false teachers and pulled away. 4, and here it is. He who is in you, the Spirit of God, is greater than he who is in the world. He who is in you is greater than he that is in the world. Jesus is greater than Satan. There is no equal here. There's no battle between two equals. God is victorious. God is the one who wins every single battle, even when I don't understand what goes on. Even in the midst of tragedy and suffering and difficulty, even in the middle of whether it's physical illness, whether it's mental illness, whether it's difficult circumstances for ourselves, for our children, for our neighbors, God wins. Greater is He who is in us than he that is in the world. We stand against Satan. We arm ourselves against Satan. We put on the armor of God. And we win. Not because of us, because it's God who is fighting for us. God has the victory. And we need to encourage one another with that. Because there are times in our lives when we don't feel that. When it doesn't feel like God is winning. It doesn't feel like God is for us. That God's power is being exerted on our behalf. That God is strong enough. God wins. God is all-powerful. Satan is not. Jesus is greater. And Jesus is in us and is for us. He loves you as His children. Let us remember, greater is He that is in us than the evil one who is in the world. Let's pray. Father, I do pray that You would empower us by Your Spirit to test the spirits. We will be able to tell what someone is saying or teaching or expounding, and that we would weigh it from Your Word, O God. We would see the lives of those who claim to be Your followers, Lord, and we would see Your ways, and we would know whether they are of You or of the evil one. Pray, O Lord God, that You would keep us from false teaching. Pray, O Lord God, too, that You would strengthen our faith and our belief that You are the mighty God, that You are greater, that You are greater, that You are all-powerful, and that You are good. And You are working all things together for good for those who love You, Almighty God. Strengthen our faith, Father, when the days grow dark. And help us in this day, too, to show forth Your love to a scared world. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.